What's up, ATL and Beyond? It's John Michaels, Jay Adams, DJ Shockley out six. We got Brian Bosek in here as well. It's another episode of the Falcon Cast. We'll be hanging out talking Falcons, talking NFL, and just having a good time in general.
Dude, I feel like a little bit like a band that can't seem to get it all together right now. Because what was it? Last week you were out, and then
the week before
I was out, and now DJ's out, and DJ, get well soon. I mean, he's got a big golf match on Thursday, and so he's got to rest up for that. But man, it feels like we haven't been complete in quite a while.
No,
Bosek has done a great job of filling in.
I've been here every week, just filling in the best I can.
He's been trying to wrangle us all up and do a good job. I think the last show we did together was at the preview center for Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
That was January. It was. I think that's the last time the band was all together. Our schedules have just been kind of crazy. It's that time of year where things just kind of get crazy. You got a new full-time job.
Right.
Things pop up. You know, I wish that, like, the Falcon Cast was the only thing I did around here, but it ends up being about 0.1% of my entire job here. So things come up, and then DJ is obviously popular, in demand, and unfortunately under the weather. So it's tough to get us all in the same room at times, but we do our best.
Mm-hmm.
We do our best.
We do. And let's address something before
we
get into the Falcons conversation, or just football conversation in general. Falcon Cast, we've decided to go more audio-based. And I know we've got a lot of reaction, more so you, Jay, on Twitter.
Great reaction. And let me tell you something. To all the fans who wrote to me, I don't know, Bo, how much you got. But, man, I tell you, there are so many people who listen to our show every week, listen to the whole thing, and really pay attention to what we're talking about, which is amazing, because I really thought it was just my parents that were listening to us.
And Jim Spiritwear,
who's been giving us a hard time on Twitter. Anyways, so we've gotten a ton of feedback from people who have been longtime listeners and even remember when we started out as an audio-only show. And we only moved to video a couple of years ago, and boy, did we have to tinker around with that setup. I mean, we were actually in this room that we're in right now, which that was the first video Falcon Cast was in this room. And this room is a media room where you do, you know, when you're 92.9, the game does their little traveling shows.
Right.
Sometimes they'll do it in this room. But mostly, like, it's just a black curtain hanging from the wall, and it looks kind of like a funeral home.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had a table with a black tablecloth, and me and Daniel Cox at the time looking forward at the camera, not looking at each other, and it looked like the funeral parlor from when, you know, WWE superstars on Saturday morning, you know, Paul Bearer would be out there. I was waiting for him to come from behind the curtain.
Undertaker!
Yeah.
Woo! I have the earth!
Yes. So that was the very first video podcast, and we evolved quite a bit from that point, both in personnel and in style and all that other stuff. And this is a show that, look, this show was around before I came along, and so it continues to evolve, and it will continue to evolve, and we will continue to involve the fan. The fans and their opinions. You know, a lot of people want us to come back with video. You know, I don't know that we're gonna do that. I gotta be honest. I think the show. I would listen to our show now.
Right.
I wouldn't listen to it before. A bunch of stiffs in front of a camera. Like, what? So we'll ask the fans again. And we'll say, what is it about the video that you like? That's what I would like to know, because really,
well, I think they all want to look at DJ.
Yeah, but we could put up a picture of DJ, like, throughout the entire thing. I mean, I know a lot of people listen in the app, and when you
on
listen,
iTunes,
yeah, right. But if you listen in the app, if you lock your phone, or if you turn your, you know, you shut your phone kind of down and put it in sleep mode, like, it won't continue to play like iTunes would.
Right.
So I guess people want something to look at, but look, there's gonna be, we got some changes coming. We got a whole new brand identity that's coming, and I saw the first concepts of it yesterday with our creative group, and they look awesome. So we're going to have a new look, new logo, all that stuff. But I think, you know what, man, I love all the fans out there, and I love all their opinions. I think we got to stick with audio for a while, and I think it's, let's say, one, we got a lot going on. Mm-hmm. Right, Bosek?
Oh, yeah, we have a lot going on.
Bosek's the one that's got to sit there and control three cameras and set up three cameras and do all that kind of stuff, and that's a lot of work.
One man to broadcast a three-person show.
Yes, that's it. So if you were to go to, like, The Daily Show.
Right.
Or one of those late-night shows. They got an army of people behind the scenes, right? We do not.
Mm-hmm. I do my best.
We've had Bosek. We've had Kane, your son.
Right.
We've had DJ's son behind the scenes. And that's basically about
that's it.
We had a guy on the couch. He left a long time ago. Hasn't been back to the Falcon cast since. And then...
And where has he been?
Oh, well, you see, the thing is, when you're the guy on the couch, you get promoted to manager. You can't be the guy on the couch anymore. You got to...
Big time.
Congratulations to him. But we lost the guy on the couch. And so, you know, it's a lot of work. And we feel like we're more comfortable without it. Like, seriously, you don't want to see John right now.
No.
You don't want to see what he's wearing right now.
I got a Dwayne Wade t-shirt on.
Right.
Yeah, you don't want to see that. Exactly.
Right.
No,
exactly.
Nobody does.
You're in track pants.
I am. With mismatched socks.
Mismatched. We are in a room. There's a cardboard box to my right that's filled with various paraphernalia. There's a surge protector, some kind of water bottle.
There's a water bottle that's been there since the 80s. Now, here was my favorite place to broadcast from. Back in the old days at another station I used to work for, I did an evening show. And across the hall is a room of just a bunch of stuff that probably should have been thrown away a long time ago. Filing cabinets. I think there was a kid's bed in there. I actually did shows from there for about 3 months leading up to the season.
This room in here.
In that room.
There was a race car bed in there.
Yes.
Okay, so this room.
No, it's funny. Brian Kern said, dude, can you take, I know you, this tell you how long ago it was. My son was basically a newborn. Do you want the bed? And I couldn't figure out how to get it apart, to take it apart and put it, because I was going to take it.
Yeah.
So what am I going to do?
You know, the race car bed was here when I first got here, and when somebody finally showed me this room, because this room is literally where, like, all of our history is kept. Anything
archives.
That's not on display. And it's kind of funny because for a while it just kind of ended up being a catch-all room.
Right.
As evidenced by the race car bed, because the race car bed is not a piece of Falcons history, believe it or not.
I'd love to know whose kid's bed that actually was.
No. Nobody knows. It's a big mystery. But it eventually disappeared, and that room is a little bit more cleared out and everything now. But it is really, really funny because you know, you go in there and you literally have no idea what you may stumble on. And that's kind of a fun place. So really, you don't want to see us right now. We're in the funeral parlor. We got cardboard boxes, probably like Dave Archer's water bottle down there.
We got a speaker stand with no speaker on it.
We got a stick here. We're just relaxing, and we're going to talk some Falcons and stuff like that. Like, why do we have to get all stuffy with the videos?
We'll probably go back to video, I would assume, more towards the season when people want to see some highlights
like
and stuff like
off
that.
Off-season, like right now. Bosek's out of videos of the week.
Right.
I was running. Although Jim Spiritware.
When you started to go with the Asian game shows, I knew we were scraping the bottom of the barrel because I know where those were coming
from. See, I was turning him on to something new today. He's never heard, and I don't know how much you guys are fans of Dan Le Batard's show. National radio.
I don't listen to a lot of sports radio. But
Nothing wrong with that. Dan is really entertaining, and he did local radio in Miami for a long time. I'll stumble into the YouTube abyss of Dan Le Batard rants. He has all these rants when the Heat were really good.
Yeah.
And they're all – Bosek's looking at me like, why are you laughing? Like, I'm in here crying laughing from something from 2013. But that's what we end up doing in the offseason. You listen to stuff like that. I know Jay is overly excited that the NBA season comes to an end, and Saturday you get to lock into 3.5 months of playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, it comes to an end, and then we get into the saga that is NBA playoffs. I mean, my God, how many games do you need to decide a champion? Come on.
NHL
playoffs, you need 16 wins.
Look, and I like the NHL, and I will actually watch some of the NHL playoffs, but I'll get like halfway through it.
Blackhawks.
And I'll be like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore.
By the way, I haven't seen you. Congrats to your Syracuse Orange. What a great run in the NCAA tournament.
No, that was big. And you could fill a thimble with how much I cared, to be honest. So, really, I can't accept the congratulations because I was a terrible fan this year. Like, I couldn't name a player on the team going into the Final Four. Like, that's how awful I was of a Syracuse fan. Like, people were tweeting me and being like, oh, congratulations when we got into the Final Four. I'm like, look, I'm not even paying attention right now. I've got so many things going on, so many irons in the fire, I couldn't even pay attention to it. But,
where I got all the tweets from, like, Tron and Bosek and everybody else is Miami blows a 20-some-odd point lead in the round of 32. Keep all the sharp objects away from John Michaels. Now, Miami ends up winning the game. Then they lose to the eventual national champion, Villanova Wildcats. So I don't feel so bad. When they lost in the Sweet 16, I was angry.
Yeah, yeah.
Shocking that I was angry.
And you know what I loved about that game, though, was that we had a couple of Falcons ties there with Brian Finneran doing the team stream for Villanova and then West Durham calling the game for North Carolina. That
Did
was
you
really
hear
cool.
Brendan Haywood? Wes is a great professional broadcaster, you know. Archie Diacono brings it up across half court. He kicks back Chris Jenkins, three on the way. It's good. And you hear Brendan Haywood go, oh, no. And I'm just laughing. I feel awful. I can't imagine. We've been through this, you know, with the Falcons. Roddy White down at the end. You're trying to complete a pass to beat San Francisco.
You and I were standing next to each other.
I think I threw up in my mouth right about that time.
There's a photo from that moment where – it's a photo of Thomas Dimitroff and Arthur Blank standing next to each other. And Thomas kind of has his head cocked up and his eyes closed like, oh. But you can see in the background both of us.
I think I still have this saved in my
like, just completely dejected. Like, that moment was caught forever in history. And I believe it's on the Associated Press. Like, we will forever be a part of. Let's see. What does it look like? Is it you or me or... Oh, it's just you.
Yeah, look at this.
That's the wrong photo. There's
no, that's
another
the one
photo.
From San Francisco, though. That's the game against San Francisco.
That's the San Francisco game, but there's another
because
one.
Because you're
like
right here. You're right next to me.
There's another one from when, like, right after that play happened.
You know,
which, of course, was pass interference.
It was
we
pass
all know
interference.
That.
You know who was blamed for the loss? Wasn't Matt. Wasn't anybody else. It was me. Arch told me afterwards, I blame you. I said, why? He said, you wore a stupid suit to the game. He said, you always come in a polo. Because you see me on the sideline. I'm in a polo and some slacks.
Oh, you big dummy. I didn't know that.
It was the NFC Championship.
Yeah, I don't care what it is. You stick with what works.
I thought there was going to be a chance I'd end up on TV somewhere, and you never know who's going to notice you.
Now, look, it's really funny because there are so many superstitious people in sports. Like, sports and superstition go together like peanut butter and jelly. Like, no lie. So I'm not a superstitious person at all, but being around superstitious people makes me superstitious.
Yeah.
Like, if I would have known that, I would have made you go change into a, like, for real. But I don't sit around and think, well, I got to have the same breakfast I had last week because we won. You know, I don't think about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I just want breakfast, period.
Well, yeah.
Shout out to the Flying Biscuit,
how come we
by
don't
the way.
Oh, yeah.
They brought us breakfast at 92.9 The Game this morning. Oh, I ate like a fat man. The lady looks at me. I turned into Vince Vaughn. Remember the scene in Wedding Crashers when he's really mad at Owen Wilson's character for staying the extra night, and he's got this huge breakfast?
Yeah, yeah. He's just pouring syrup all over it.
So this morning they brought us eggs and some different meat, bacon, sausage, all that good stuff, some grits, which I don't eat, some hash browns, and then they had these organic pancakes. And I said, well, I got to try a little bit of everything. So I've got the eggs and the – and on top, I just throw a pancake, and the lady looks at me and goes, hey, do you need another plate? No. I was like Vince Vaughn. I just took syrup, put it all over the top of everything, and I was good to go.
How's your yoga doing? I saw you
awesome.
Had Diamond Dallas Page on your show.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous that you guys are like boys now, and I don't have any wrestler friends.
Yeah, I got two now, him and Stevie Richards, who instructs some of the classes, and it's awesome. Going well. Lost about 10 pounds.
Great.
I feel flexibility in areas that, you know, I haven't been able to get in a catcher stance like I'm Javi Lopez probably since the 90s.
Right.
Now I can. I can get down. You know, I don't know that I could catch two innings. But
I see that you got shoes with ties on them. No more Velcro.
Yeah, no more Velcro.
That's big.
And they're actually tied in the middle. You know the problem when you gain a lot of weight, you can only tie them on the side.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that's where you can reach.
Yeah, no, I've been there.
The other good thing that's worked out for me, and I was laughing, Mark Owens, who works on my show, 10 to 2, Monday through Friday, 92.9. Shameless plug. 92.9thegame.com, by the way. But we were talking about being big guys, and I said, here's the time when I start to know I'm gaining too much weight. When the front of my boxers flip down. You know, when you're walking and all of a sudden the fold of your stomach is too big, and the front of your boxers folds down, and you're like, why are my boxers so low? And you got to fold them back up. Well, the good thing is I no longer have the downward boxer fold anymore.
That's good.
And I don't have where the belt is, like, gouging the underside of my stomach.
Yeah, that's always a sign. That's always one of the signs. And then another one for me is after I'm done tying my shoes and I stand up and I almost pass out.
You start to because see stars?
Because I have almost choked myself to death while, that's, boy, we're schlubs. Hey, though, I've lost, I think I'm right down to 23 pounds since,
nice.
When did I start? January. So, I'm on my way down too. So, you know, it's funny. Well, I'm going to try, but then we'll get to the training camp of the season.
And then it all goes downhill. And then we go to Cleveland and we go to Miami and all those places. And
right.
We eat a lot of bad food.
Should we talk about Falcons football?
Let's do that. Let's start with the preseason.
Segue and, yeah, we talked about some preseason last week. I'd like to get your take. Hot takes, though. Well, I need all the hot takes from you on the preseason.
Hot takes for me is anytime we get a preseason schedule, I know one of two places we're going to on the road, either Miami or Jacksonville. And I figured since the wheel of roulette last year led us to Miami, I said, well, we're going to be stuck on a Wednesday afternoon at the Jacksonville Landing, going to the Hooters because that's the only place really to go. We're going to play them on a Thursday afternoon. It's going to be 411 degrees. There's no breeze and no fans there. But then I looked and I go, whoa. We get to go to Miami for a second year in a row. Free trip to Miami in August is always welcome.
That's great. That's great. And I love going to Miami in August. I mean, we stay at usually stay at some very nice accommodations.
Yeah, right there, Fort Lauderdale Beach.
Oh, it's beautiful. And now we were just talking before we went on air. I had probably one of the best hamburgers I've had in my entire life in Fort Lauderdale. Rock Burger. I don't know if anybody's down there, man. Try that. Is that a chain?
I've never heard of that.
I don't think it is.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But my goodness, was that amazing. I'm looking forward to that trip.
Yeah, our hotel had gorgeous views, too. We were
gorgeous
looking
views,
right on the ocean.
Oh,
it was gorgeous.
Well, see, and I know this year it'll be better for me. Last year, I literally was one day out of a walking boot. That was the first day. Down on the trip. It's my first day out of a walking boot. Well, I can't walk on the beach.
Right.
I've got a torn Achilles that's 12 weeks healed. I'm, like, wobbling around. Arch is like, hey, come over here. We're going to – at the tiki tent. No, dude, I'm
going
to stay here.
I'm not going to the tiki tent, Arch.
I'm going to stand right here where there's concrete. And
right.
Flat surface. Here, from a football perspective, that game interests me because remember what happened last year in the exact same preseason
game?
Our offensive line got demolished.
Absolutely demolished. And it was interesting because for us in that game, we noticed, I mean, it was the third preseason game, and so am I right on that?
Yeah, that was the third.
You're right.
Okay. It was the third preseason game, and that's the game where your starters traditionally play through into the second half. We noticed, in between dodging brief rainstorms like Florida does, that Joe Hawley didn't start at center and hadn't played at all, and then gets in there in the second half. And we're like, what is that all about? And next thing you know, he ends up being a casualty, and that's when you knew that change is a coming, and there are no sacred cows. You know, we heard that a couple of years ago from Mr. Blank, and I think that's definitely true under Dan Quinn.
Right.
And so that's why the preseason's a little interesting. You know, I said last week on the show that I almost wish it was reversed, where you're playing Jacksonville in the third preseason game because. I believe that's one of the most improved teams in the NFL this offseason. I think they've certainly spent the money in the right areas. They've got a lot of studs there. They've got Dante Fowler coming back. You almost want to see how you would stack up against a defense like that in your third preseason game. But, Miami's coming off losing some pretty important players kind of all around. So it'll be interesting to see how the Falcons are able to measure themselves against the Dolphins at that point. But, you know, I kind of wish that it was against Jacksonville, just to give you a little bit of a challenge before the regular season.
And you will get Jacksonville, although it's preseason game four.
You and I will be dressed like you.
Yeah, well, we can actually take some snaps, I think.
I think we can, yeah. I think we'll take some snaps in the fourth preseason game.
I want to see if I can play the one technique. For one. Actually, no, I don't. That's a lot of big guys. You just got to
eat up a double team, and nobody's going to double team you there.
That's, you know what? Me and the one technique, you know what's going to happen? I'll be flat on my back. That fast.
Yeah.
I'll tear something.
Normally when your job is to eat up something, right, you do pretty good, but right, I don't think the double team is really going
to
happen.
The other one that's interesting for me, obviously we go to Cleveland. I've never been to Cleveland, so to check off on the checklist of stadiums I've yet to attend is pretty cool. Now, granted, it's preseason game number two. I don't know how much RG3 you're going to see. You don't know who the heck else is going to be on that team. And there's no Johnny Manziel.
Right, but you could be facing a Carson Wentz for an entire half, too, this is the thing, John. You know, we talked about
this
stuff
here,
last
man.
Week. I'm making
terrible.
All the same points that I had last
week. Okay,
I'm messing with you. But that's what I said. That's what I told DJ last week, is you might get a situation where you're playing a Carson Wentz for maybe a full half. The interesting thing now that we are getting into the silly season of the draft. Please beware out there. Mm-hmm. We are about 2 weeks away from the draft.
Right.
It's going to get silly.
Oh, so you mean all the stories about the Tennessee Titans are going to trade with Philadelphia,
right,
and the Cleveland Browns. Nobody's going anywhere.
Nobody's going anywhere because it costs too much to get up there. And I don't think the Texans or Titans want to get out of that spot because they're – if you've got Laremy Tunsil and Jalen Ramsey sitting there, mm-hmm, and you're like you're in a good situation.
Right.
You're probably not going to trade out of there. And if you were even seriously entertaining it, it would cost way too much for a team to get up there, even if they were only in, you know, a couple of spots behind.
One of the things I'll tell fans all the time, Google search NFL draft value chart.
Yes.
Just do it. Jimmy Johnson, I believe, is the originator of this years ago, mm-hmm, where he put a point value to every single pick of the NFL draft.
Yeah.
If you want an idea of what it costs to move up, just go look. Philadelphia, I think, sits at 8, and they're the name that's thrown out there.
Yeah.
To try to get to number 1, they'd have to give up that 8th pick, probably their 2nd, 3rd, and most likely next year's 1st for the value to equal to move up 7 spots.
You better be darn sure about the player you're drafting, mm-hmm, you're going up to get. Now, when we saw a couple of years ago when Thomas Dimitroff made a blockbuster deal to go from, I think it was 27 up to 6.
Yep.
You saw what you had to give up to get up there, and it was steep. Mm-hmm. But it's gotten steeper since then. I think if you were to try to make that trade today, I don't think there's any way you make it because the values of some of these first-rounders have gone way, way up. I would imagine that chart's changed. But that chart, to your point, is in every single war room.
Yep.
And there's guys that are looking at that chart. You know, they're fielding the phone calls because phone calls are coming in. Hey, we're looking to move. You know, so they're doing the addition, subtraction. Like, you got to get to that point where the team that you're trading with, the spot that you want to get into, is comfortable,
right,
with what you're offering. Meaning you got to get in the neighborhood of that point system that Jimmy Johnson came up with. And it's not that easy. And I do encourage people to go look at that because it's fascinating, first of all.
Right.
But second of all, it really does give you an idea of how difficult some of those trade-ups are and why you see teams so eager to trade back.
Well, and even that, you got to find somebody. Just say, because I've heard via Twitter and everywhere else, Falcons should trade back. We only have 5 picks. And I understand that theory. Totally do. If you could pick up an extra 3rd or an extra 2nd, so be it. But who are you going to find in just say the 25 to 30 range that's willing to give up their 2nd-round pick or 3rd-round pick potentially to move up 7 spots? Because think about the teams that are sitting there. The teams that are below Atlanta, you know what they all were? Playoff teams.
Right.
And they might only be looking for 1 piece. They might only be looking for 2 pieces where they don't feel they want to give up any of their depth to move up.
Right. It's tough. It's a tough situation there because you are stuck with 5. If we know anything about Thomas Dimitroff, it's that he's way more likely to trade up than he is to trade back, but we've never seen him with this number of picks before.
Right.
You don't have a whole lot to work with from a trade perspective, both with draft picks and with players on the roster. And you certainly don't want to see him dipping into next year's draft. So my guess is it's 17 or try to trade back. I don't know that you're going to be successful that way, but we've seen guys like Bill Belichick work some incredible magic to get himself out of the first round completely and sit there with three second round picks in day two and pick three gems that can come in and you know, help you right away. I don't know that that's such a miss or it's such an anomaly that I don't think you can count on something like that, but it's, I think the wild card situation here is the five picks and the number of holes that you feel like you still have to fix. And so you've got to feel pretty good about the guys who are going to be there when you pick to actually turn a card in instead of entertaining trade offers.
I think the good thing at 17, and I've read probably 500 mock drafts now. That's where my lot in life is.
Do you hate yourself?
No, I like to get ideas of what everybody thinks about who's going to go there. And the thing that's overriding for me sitting at 17, there's going to be three or four guys that fans really like probably sitting there. Just to name some names that I've seen thrown out there. Shaq Lawson could be there. Kevin Dodd could be there. Robert Kamdichi could be there. Darren Lee could be there. Reggie Ragland. These are names that Leonard Floyd from the University of Georgia. These are names that everybody that is associated as being a Falcon fan looks at and goes, okay, you throw any of those names on the wall and you draft them, I'd say 75% of the people are going to be happy. I don't know how much they help the football team. We'll obviously not find that out for a couple of years.
Yeah.
But those names are going to be there. The difference is you get back to just say 25. If you can find a trade partner at 25. All of a sudden, those six names might all be gone.
Yeah, that's a big roll of the dice. And one thing that I've learned is that there is so much that can happen before you even pick that can throw everything out of whack for you. Everything. And we've seen it. We've seen it with, you know, what was the year where there were, like, just a ridiculous amount of trades in the first round. And everybody's jockeying for position and trying to get their guy, and you know, so teams could be in that situation, and all the first couple of picks is where everything is ultimately determined from there. You got to think that if Tennessee, everybody, you know, everybody seems to think that Tennessee is pretty sold on Tunsil, but if they go with a Ramsey,
right,
that changes things quite a bit. And then it becomes the race for Carson Wentz if Cleveland doesn't take him. So you could have some you're going to have players that you thought were top 10 players that might be there at 17. They may not be at positions you need, but I think you're going to see a situation where you might be a little bit more limited than you think. I don't know. I feel like Lawson and Floyd could very well be gone by the time you're on the board. You got to feel pretty good about Lee if he's there,
right?
Because there's no guarantee he's going to be there. And Ragland, you've got to take a look at and determine, you know, is he a three down linebacker? Is he the guy that you ultimately believe can come in and you know, be your defensive quarterback? So I think it's a little bit of, you know, you kind of hope you have a lot of options there, but you could very quickly at 17 be very limited in what you want to do.
Yeah, you could be that. And I think this year what's so interesting about the draft in general is the fact that normally at the top of the draft, you either have a surefire prospect. Jadeveon Clowney, people knew a year and a half before that he was going number one. Or you have a couple of quarterbacks, like last year, Winston and Mariota, that you know are most likely going one or two. There's no guarantee that Laremy Tunsil goes one.
No.
I don't think there's a guarantee that Carson Wentz goes two.
No.
You could pencil Joey Bosa up there. You could pencil Jalen Ramsey. Some people really love Vernon Hargraves. Some people like Jared Goff. I mean, you start throwing names out there. Ronnie Stanley in Notre Dame, if you want to go offensive lineman.
Right.
It's really topsy-turvy. And I think what could determine a lot of things, especially with trade-ups, if Cleveland looks and Hugh Jackson says, look, fine, I'm going to keep Robert Griffin for a couple of years. I don't want to spend number two on a guy that only played FCS-level football.
Right.
And Cleveland decides to go somewhere else. You know who's on the clock next? It's San Diego. Well, they're not taking a quarterback.
No.
But somebody like Philadelphia or the Rams or somebody like that could go, oh, wait a second. Now I can go get Carson Wentz.
Right.
Instead of me trading for Colin Kaepernick. And I think that's where you're going to look at the draft and it could just come completely unglued early on.
Let me ask you this. I mean, I don't know that there's ever such thing as a surefire prospect because you really don't know until you get him on the field. I mean, everybody thought Jadeveon Clowney was going to destroy the NFL. Unfortunately, has that injury and you know, has to kind of recover from that, and his legacy is yet to be written. Meanwhile, Khalil Mack is turning into everything that everybody wondered if he could be.
Right.
In your mind, who are there are probably two or three or four guys that are in this draft that you think are surefire can't miss guys. Who are they?
The number one guy for me is Jalen Ramsey.
Exactly. I'm the same way.
Maybe that's because I've seen him play in person and he's picked off my quarterback. The kid can play two positions and he can play them at an all-star level. He played corner or he can play safety. I think you plug Jalen Ramsey into a defense and you've got a guy for 12 years.
Yeah.
I don't know. Laremy Tunsil, I don't know enough about him. He was suspended some last year because of the NCAA allegations and everything else. Ole Miss was a team that was hit or miss to me. Yeah, they were good, but I never saw Laremy Tunsil as, you know, it's not like you're getting, you know, Orlando Pace at number one.
Right. And, well, remember a couple of years ago when the Falcons drafted Jake Matthews, and, you know, the big debate was between him and Greg Robinson. Mm-hmm. And who do you want? Which one's better? You know, they were constantly being compared to one another, and it turned out that Jake ended up having a better first
2 years.
First 2 years. You know, they've played around with Robinson as far as tackle, guard, what is he? But the consensus at the time was, oh, you can't miss with Greg Robinson.
Right.
So it's funny how things change, and there's always going to be that one guy that, like, you heard of, and you're like, oh, yeah, he seems pretty good. But a great example here is Bud Dupree from last year, right? He was one of those guys that he didn't excite me, didn't really do a whole lot for me. If we had drafted him, I would have, of course, been thrilled. But I don't know what my expectations would have been. It certainly wouldn't have been a sexy pick to me.
Right.
And then he goes out and he balls out for Pittsburgh, and it looks like his arrow is pointed way up. Another guy the year before that, this is another perfect example, Anthony Barr. We were associated with him for a little while, and then it kind of became a little bit clearer that the team was going to go with offensive tackle or maybe Khalil Mack was the hope there. But, you know, you've got an Anthony Barr there who started out at the beginning of draft season and slowly kind of made his way out of the top 10. And then Minnesota's like, all right, we'll take him. And he turns out to be a stud.
Right.
So there's those guys that are going to fall into your neighborhood at 17 that could be just studs. And off the top of my head, I think a couple of contenders could be like a Kevin Dodd or a Leonard Floyd. I mean, I've been talking about Leonard Floyd here, I think, for a couple of weeks now. But love his athleticism, love everything about what he brings to the field. But he's a sexy name only from the Georgia factor because how long has it been since there's been a Bulldog on the team? I think it was DJ the last one?
Keem Dent. Was the last drafted Bulldog.
That's right.
But that's still been a while. He was only here for a little bit.
Right. And so I know fans are certainly hungry to get a Georgia Bulldog back on the team. But I just like what he brings in the form of talent, in the form of potential. But he's not one of those guys that the experts are fawning all over. they're more like, yeah, he could be pretty good, which leads me to believe he could be pretty great, because a lot of these guys that they're like, man, you know, he could turn into a decent pro, they end up doing pretty well.
And when I look at what's going on with the team, I mean, there's obviously holes to be filled, and there's spots that are going to be open, but you don't have to reach. And I, as much as I'd love to see Thomas make a move one way or the other, if you go and you hit on all five, and I think this is where it's a draft that it's so important that your second rounder and your third rounder become productive players year one. And that's a lot of pressure a lot of times for a second or a third rounder.
It is. It is. And but I think that's where character comes into play. That's where all the interviews you've done, all the visits you've done, you are grading these guys on a personality level and a maturity level as much as you are on a physical level. Mm-hmm. And so you are looking for the guys who are going to be able to handle coming in, starting week one, and making an impact, and having very high expectations,
right,
too. There are some guys out there that I think that can really do that. I mean, certainly near the top of the draft, but I'm thinking more in the second round, or, you know, a guy like Keanu Neal jumps off the page at me. Just complete athlete, you know, would be a great fit next to Ricardo Allen. The question is he going to be there when you pick in the second round?
Right.
We've seen the second round seems to be notorious for when safeties go flying off the board early. And so, you know, again, you don't have too much to work with to try to move up. But maybe all the more reason to trade out.
Right.
If you get a couple of second rounders, including a high one, and you can get a guy like Neal, and then you can get, you know, another pass rusher. Look, the defensive line and the outside linebackers are deep mm-hmm. in this draft, and I think everybody's been talking about that. But, I mean, there's guys that, you know, are going to the kid from Michigan State. Who
Shalique Calhoun.
He's fallen because he's got to have shoulder surgery. Is that right? And then you've got Noah Spence that you would have to kind of take a chance on. I know Chuck Smith, former Falcon.
We know he knows like how to party.
Yeah.
If nothing else.
Chuck Smith, the former Falcons defensive end, has been working with him. And he tweeted out that, look, this kid's going to be the steal of the draft. I think, obviously, Chuck's a little biased here. But Noah Spence has, like, everything you want mm-hmm. on the field. It's just, are you comfortable with him off the field?
Right.
So that's what you've got to determine. And here's the thing. When you've got five picks, you can't
right.
– you're not going to take many chances. You're going to look for the sure thing. And sometimes the sure thing may not be the sexy pick.
And we'll move on to the schedule that's coming out real soon. But one last guy to talk about, and it's interesting. He's going to have a knee test, I believe, tomorrow. But Jalen Smith. This is a guy that consensus may have been the best player in the draft, period.
Bar none.
Then he injures the knee in the Fiesta Bowl against Ohio State. Again, playing in a meaningless bowl game, and how soon do some of these college kids start going, no thanks.
Yeah.
If we're not playing for a championship, I'm
or
not playing.
Or money.
Oh, yeah, or money. Either pay me or I'm
right.
not playing. The report was possible nerve damage about a month ago, and it kind of took his name off the board.
Completely.
But if it checks out tomorrow at 17, if this guy sits there and he's going to be healthy, just say he's healthy for devil's advocate's sake, game five next year. He'll be 100% game five. Are you risking taking him then?
Yes. Yes.
I agree.
Absolutely. So to clear things up, you say tomorrow, that's Thursday. So you're listening to this likely on Thursday or Friday. So anyway, this
right.
happened Thursday.
Right.
The knee checked out. So we're recording on Wednesday, so we don't know the results of that. Jalen Smith is everything you look for in a linebacker. I mean, I have heard more people behind the scenes in not just here, but in different clubs, media members, all kind. A healthy Jalen Smith is easily the best player in the draft, and it's not even close. And we love Jalen Ramsey.
Right.
So, well, you don't love him because he's a Florida State guy, but you like
love
him
in red and black. I
well, of course. Sure. If you were to get the news that week five, he's ready to go, you don't have the benefit of a training camp.
Right. Or preseason.
Or preseason. or rookie mini camp or other mini camps and OTAs, right?
Well, he's still
taking
those.
He's taking mental reps. He's probably working off on the side. You have to get back into football shape. My guess is if it's a week five situation, you probably put him on PUP.
Right.
With the or you put him on
IR designation
to return, and you know, 8 weeks later you kind of take a look at him, and right. you got a couple of weeks to activate him or put him back on IR for the rest of the season. He's a risk, but if the prognosis is better than what we heard coming out of the combine. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of teams rethinking where right. they've got him on their big board because the kid is an athlete and he can absolutely play and make an impact right away. It's like with Todd Gurley last year. You're taking a risk with a guy coming off of an ACL injury, and teams obviously weren't willing to take that risk. Well, it worked out pretty good for what is now the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah.
And – look, for, you know, for, as far as we're concerned, because I know there's a lot of Georgia fans that, that are upset still to this day that the Falcons didn't take him. Devontae Freeman is doing just fine.
He's doing okay.
I think it's okay.
And see, I can get over my
FSU. Shut up, Bosek. My goodness.
These Atlanta allergies, man.
Oh, I know. You've been dying.
My throat feels like somebody stabbed me about right here. And I don't get allergies.
I get that looked at.
Nah. I got two more days of work, and then I'll sit and relax for a couple of days. So
you know... John, I want to. Are you going to draft something, draft stuff, or you? Where were you going?
I think, and I
we were going to segue into something.
Well, I was going to go into the. I was going to go into the schedule for a second, but that's our final place, and we got plenty of time to play around.
Yeah, I just wanted to address the, you know, what happened with Will Smith from the New Orleans Saints over the weekend. I mean, you know, the Falcons and Saints rivalry is storied, and there's bad blood, and there's all those kinds of things. And that is truly one of those moments when rivalries and football and all of that stuff are put aside and put away. And I know our hearts go out to the Saints organization. They've had a rough week.
Yeah, because Hokie got John as well.
Exactly. And so, you know, our condolences out to them, our sympathies out to them. That's an organization that's certainly having a tough time right now. So, you know, I've been really proud to see on social media Falcons fans understanding the gravity of the situation and, you know, also – acknowledging their condolences and sympathies to the Saints, but just a tragic story that, man, I just hope that we can see an end to those types of days,
right.
But it's just, it's tough, man.
It's scary. You know, Will Smith had posted on Instagram probably an hour and a half before, having a great time. He's got a picture with him and his wife, the city of New Orleans in the background, and to have, you know, have your life taken from you like that. And, you know, there's a lot of information coming out about the case.
Yeah.
The defense for the guy, the alleged shooter, is saying, you know, Will Smith had a weapon and, you know, maybe he was intoxicated. And now there's, you know, the whole thing about potentially that there was a previous accident before the second accident. Doesn't matter.
Right.
All of that to me is inconsequential because you're talking about a guy that's 34 years old with his wife, with three kids, riding around in his car,
right?
You know, basically not bothering anybody, and literally seconds later, he's not with us.
Yeah, that's the thing is however this shakes out, and again, the investigation is ongoing, and there's news that seems to roll in every day that provides little details into what actually occurred. But, you know, I think we're safe in saying that the end result is absolutely tragic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Will Smith was a guy that you did not want to go up against. And we saw a lot of our players tweet out that
he
was a guy that you had to prepare for. You had to be prepared for him. And he had a lot of success against the Falcons. You know, great career. They're going to put him in their Hall of Fame, which is a awesome move for them. But just wanted to address that. I know we don't have any Saints fans listening to us
but if it
just
back
wanted
to Saints
to,
fans,
you know,
there is a time that,
yeah,
you know, no matter what the rivalry is, we all do put football aside.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's, important to recognize. We see too often these young stars that just get extinguished a little too early. And that guy on your exactly that's the first guy I think of is Sean Taylor. And you know, it's you just wish you could do something to make it all stop.
Well, I mean, it was Will Smith this offseason. It was Stedman Bailey, who's with us, but
he's running around. He's running routes finally.
But
so
I mean,
it looks like
you're talking about a guy who gets shot in the head sitting in his car.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unfortunately, and I don't want to get political because I know this isn't a forum for that, but just, you know, the lack of concern for human life is at an all time high right
now. Hey, be nice to each other. Yeah. That's it. That's my rule. Or be sarcastic, and at least
which that's my rule.
That's my rule too. But it's all coming from a good place. But I just wanted to acknowledge that. I feel like it's important to point out those situations, and you know, hopefully everybody can kind of learn from it. And we all have our moments, whether it was a moment of emotion or
right.
whatever. You know, just be smart and be nice. That's all I can say.
And with that, we'll take a break.
Oh, no, don't do me like that.
Yeah, you've got to follow that.
You got to follow. You need to bring some levity.
I was hoping you were going to take it to there. Oh, yeah. Come on. All right.
Why not?
All right.
Because I love this question,
all right,
by
we'll
the way.
Move,
how you been, Bo?
We'll
been
move
good?
On. I mean, I've been good, but I don't like death, so.
Well, none of us do.
All right.
I don't think anybody's.
Sorry to do a 180 on things, but for the break with Bosek this week. You guys, so you've been kidnapped, and the only person coming to rescue you is the main character from the TV show you most recently watched. Who is that person who comes to save you?
So awful for me. It's great, but it's funny, and it's awful. I guess he's the main character. Dave Navarro would be coming to rescue me.
From
Ink Master. That's the only show, I mean, because I'm not going to, I watch a lot of sports, but that's the only show that's on my DVR. And a matter of fact, I got an episode because I missed the episode last night. But I got an episode to watch. But Dave Navarro, can I get Chris Nunez instead? I like him better.
Yeah, he'd probably
Chris
give you a better
cool.
He'd probably
give me an
give
awesome
a better
tattoo.
Shot. Yeah.
Give me an awesome tattoo. I don't want that Oliver Peck.
I like Oliver as a person. I'm not an American traditional fan. And he's great at American traditional tattoos, but
that toothpick just bothers me.
Yeah, he does a lot with the toothpick. I get it. So I don't watch a lot of sports. Like, and I'm not sure if I've talked about this on a show or not. I'm not a big TV person. Mm-hmm. I can plop myself down for maybe an hour or two, and then I'm like, I've got to do something. And so whether it's cleaning the house or, you know, I'm just a normal or a naturally anxious person that has no idea how to relax. So I don't watch a lot of sports because it's like when I was in college, I did landscaping. And, you know, you're working 10, 12, 14-hour days landscaping. My personal yard was the worst in the neighborhood because I'm not going to do for free what I get paid to do during the week. So sports is kind of the same way with me. I used to be – before I started working in sports, I used to be a big baseball fan. Hockey fan, way back in the day, I was just obsessed with Michael Jordan with the Bulls, and I loved the Bulls back then. I know you got something to say about that.
Keep my mouth shut.
Yeah. You know, so I don't watch a lot of sports, or TV in general, but, I do watch some shows I am absolutely like loyal to, and I do not miss them. They are appointment. It's not appointment TV, but it's I have to check them on the DVR as soon as you know, the next day rolls around.
Can I guess what you watched recently?
You're gonna get it wrong.
Oh, dang. Impractical Jokers?
Well, I mean, that's one of my absolutely favorite shows.
I was hoping there was gonna be the four of those guys trying to rescue you.
No, that would be funny though. I love this show on the Sci-Fi Network called Face Off.
Okay.
It's where like monster makeup movie artists compete against each other in different themes. So it'll be like, you know, this week's theme is you've got 3 days to make like a scary, bloody zombie, right? And then they go through the, you know, they sculpt it and do all that the stuff that I don't understand, but it ends up looking like really cool at the end. So the guy who would probably, I mean, the person who would probably save me, now I wouldn't mind the host Mackenzie saving me.
Of course.
But probably Glenn Hetrick, who is one of the judges on that show.
Okay.
He's all tatted all the way up, and he looks like he's been in the gym before. So nice. If I was kidnapped, he would probably be my best bet for freedom. So I'm going to go with him. But if you haven't checked out that show, I highly recommend it because it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that sounds very interesting.
Like, I really feel, you know, here's my problem with shows. Okay, do you want to get into this?
Yeah,
why not?
I want
to get into some a little bit of television.
Sit down on the couch.
Here's the reason why I don't
pull up a power strip.
Yeah, right. Here's the reason why I don't allow myself too much television. It's because I will get sucked in, mm-hmm. and it will consume my entire life. And I'm not kidding about that. I watched season 4 of House of Cards in 3 days, and I was done. And I'm like, I can't let that happen again. Mm-hmm. I watched Making a Murderer 10 hours of television
in a row?
2 days.
It took me a week to get through that.
Okay. When I was watching, everybody was like, oh, you've got to get into Sons of Anarchy. You've got to watch Sons of Anarchy. Great. I get to like season 4 and I'm like looking up local motorcycle gangs that I can join. Like I'm like, would I look good in a leather vest? Like I'm not even really sure like that. So it literally consumes my entire life because they're glamorizing like motorcycle gangs or groups or clubs. I don't want to get in trouble with anybody, but and I want to be like, I watch Lost and I'm like, boy, why can't I be stranded on it?
I did think that way with House of Lies. Like,
yeah.
I wanted to, I was like, you know, I might be awesome in a consulting firm. Like, I can lie, cheat, and steal. I'm all about this.
Well, with the show I just told you about, Face Off, I'm like, why didn't I become like a makeup special effects artist? What? How stupid am I? So this is where I go when I get into television shows, and that's my problem. I can't let myself do it because I will. So I used to play video games too. Mm-hmm. Like Madden and all of that, but I've cut myself off of that because I'll sit down and I'll play like an entire season in a night. Well, I did when I was like younger.
No, I'm right there.
Anybody
with
else
you.
Like get?
Oh yeah,
completely,
I 100% agree. I'm like, sure many of our listeners too. Oh, Jim Spearware. Might feel the same way.
Yeah, EA Sports. Can you bring back college football? I get it. You cut checks to people. Let's get our game back. We need it. Guys like me, I need the 8 hours a night. I was the guy, and Bosek will answer the break with Bosek question in just a second. I was the guy that when EA Sports College Football would come out, at midnight, I was sitting outside of GameStop, twiddling my thumbs, looking like a crazy person. I'd go in, buy my game, and I'd literally play from mid, if it'd take me 10 minutes to get home, play from 12:10 until it was time to go to work, and then I'd call out sick and sleep all day, and then wake back up when my buddies would get home from work, and we'd sit and play. That's all I'd do.
Yeah.
We'd finish like 3 seasons of Dynasty in a week.
All it does is create more, again, I'm a naturally anxious person. All it does is create more anxiety for me because I haven't done the dishes or taken care of the dog or, you know, made my bed or done my laundry or whatever. All the adult stuff that I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah, you can skip making the bed and doing the dishes. And
I know, but that's I can't allow myself to do that. So I've taken up reading books, and I like that. So I'm a very boring person these days.
The good thing, though, about it consuming, it takes your mind off of the real world. So it lets you escape and relieve some anxiety.
It does, but when I get to that point, and it's usually right around 2 hours, I'm like, I've done nothing productive for 2 hours, and I need to do something productive, and this is why I will. This is why my resting heart rate right now is like 103.
You know what mine is? It's like 68.
No, mine is normally right around there.
Yeah, I go into DDP yoga. And they put a heart rate monitor on there, and they get a certain point when you're in your fat burning zone. I'm the last person in the class every day. Because I'll walk in, and some people's heart rate's like 108, 105. Mine's at like 65. I'm like, dude, am I dying over here? Is there something wrong with me?
Okay, so like literally if this is a stupid conversation. I don't know why we're talking about this. But so I wear the Fitbit that's got the heart rate, so I can check it anytime. So it'll keep track. and average out like what my average resting heart rate is, and I'm right around, and I've always been this way. I'm always right around like a 55, 57 all the time, unless I'm obviously working out or really stressed out or like I've had a lot of coffee today, which is probably why I'm talking a million miles a minute. But so that has scared me as well, and it turns out that apparently lifting weights like you and I do, like champions, the hulking men that we are.
Yes.
That, see, now that we're not on video anymore, we can make them believe we're very strong.
Yes.
Can actually, like, slow down your heart rate. Now, I don't know if that's my thing, but, you know, whatever. Roll the dice.
All right, Bosa, who's saving you?
Well, last night I was, before I got into bed, I was watching Seinfeld. So. I'm kind of screwed.
Yeah, you are. It better not be Costanza, or else you got no shot.
I don't think any person on that TV show would be able to save me from a kidnap.
Come on, Kramer.
He would get lucky. He would do something out of the world, out of this world.
Yeah,
he would be. He might be my best bet, actually.
He might be your best bet because he would be creative about it.
Yeah,
but, I think Seinfeld would be able to talk his way out.
No, but I feel like Jerry would stop caring at some point.
Well, we have Brian Bosack. By the way, I never liked that show.
And he just doesn't.
Really?
Got nothing to say.
That's fine. I understand.
No, and I didn't watch Friends either. I thought that was stupid.
I didn't watch Friends either. That one.
Seinfeld, though?
Seinfeld. Seinfeld's my jam. Yeah, I can quote basically every episode.
Yeah.
But that I understand how that show is an either love it or hate it thing.
Yeah, definitely.
It's not that I hated it. It just wasn't for me. I'll never say hate.
I don't see you as a Seinfeld guy either. So,
that doesn't shock
that's
me.
Fine.
But
Zeno's tried to make me watch that many times. You're going to watch it. Get over here. Put on a painted on shirt. Watch the show. Like, dude, I don't want to watch Seinfeld.
Painted on shirt. Oh, and, of course, he was very demanding with it.
Of course he was.
It wasn't like, hey, John, do you want to come over maybe sometime and watch Seinfeld?
We'd be sitting in the back of the station.
Get over here right now.
We'll be sitting in the back of the station. Everybody's having dinner or whatever. We're putting on Seinfeld. I'm like, dude, I want to watch sports. Seinfeld, now. Yeah, all right, Zeno, whatever. And I dropped down and gave him 15 just for the hell of it. All right, final play time, guys. The NFL schedule coming out. Now, this has been a long podcast. I hope you guys have enjoyed the Falcon cast so far. Schedule coming out soon. Can you guess what day it's going to be?
I can, and I will probably be right. Mm-hmm. So the NFL, it is Wednesday, April 13th. Right now, as we are recording this, NFL PR guy on Twitter says that the schedule is done. So someone somewhere already knows where we're going and when we're playing and all that other stuff. I would not expect it to be released this week. My guess is going to be the 21st, Thursday the 21st is going to be my guess. You can guess that day too.
That was exactly the date I was going to go. Well, I'll bump up then. I'm going to go on Tuesday next week. I think they'll come out with something Tuesday. Tuesday the 19th, we'll get the schedule. Here's all I'm asking, and as I pray to the NFL schedule gods, the University of Miami has a game against Florida State in October. Please do not have us on the West Coast at that time.
That'll be the week we spend out.
They play here in Atlanta on October the 1st. The following week, they're in Miami, which I still have season tickets to. I just want to go to those two games. You can have the rest of my tickets. Mark Richt, you're my boy now. You're my boy, Blue.
You're my boy.
I'm in. But just please, don't have us on the West Coast.
Now that he's at Miami, is he still built Ford Tough, or is he?
He actually has a Maserati sponsorship.
Get out of here.
No, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that would be funny.
He has a Maserati and a white suit sponsorship. He's rocking the old Don Johnson.
Nice, I like it. So, next week will probably be a lot more exciting Falcon cast because the Falcons report back to Flowery Branch April 18th, which is Monday. That's when off-season training programs can officially begin.
Can we come work out with the team?
I work out after work, but usually nobody's here.
I'm just saying, can we do it?
No, is the answer. Okay.
I can't go in there and be like, hey, Julio, spot me on squats.
No. You don't get near Julio.
No one
gets near Julio. So. Yeah, the team will be able to report back for off-season workout programs. Those are voluntary, keep in mind. But I would expect a very, very good turnout. And then on Tuesday, April 19th, we will have some media availability with some guys. We haven't talked to guys in quite some time.
Nice.
So they'll be at the podium. We'll have some video and articles and all that social media kind of stuff on AtlantaFalcons.com, and we'll also have some video and photo on Monday night, from what I understand, of maybe something a little special, so keep your eye out for that.
And also Thursday, Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff will have a press conference for the pre-draft
talk. Press conference. So next week we will have a lot to talk
about.
What
time's the presser next Thursday?
2 o'clock.
Sorry, okay. John.
I won't be here.
Is that another shameless plug coming in?
Yeah, what's your schedule look like?
Well, no, I get off at 2 o'clock. I can't make it. I can't. The DeLorean does not work that well where I can just hyper speed up.
Are you free on Friday next week?
I think so.
My thought is, and we might as well talk to our fans here about this, we might wait until Friday after the draft press conference.
Or we could do it Thursday right after.
Or we could do it Thursday if you can get up here.
I get up here. I just won't be here
at 2. We'll have to give you all the highlights. But
I'm
so
sure
next
they will
week,
carry it live on the Falcon Station here in town.
Yes. Another shameless plug.
New is coming.
But, just so everybody knows, FalconCast may be a day late because we want to get the latest news out to you. That's all I'm saying.
Works for me.
Of course.
That works for me. Let's see if it works for DJ Shockley. That's going to be the
problem. Feel better, Shock.
Feel better, Shock.
He'll
we miss you.
Golf tournament.
He's probably out golfing right now.
He's working on his putter.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah, appreciate it. Check us out on iTunes, FalconCast, Falcons.com. For Jay and Bosak, John Michaels. Have a good one. Peace.